When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I could be doing my thing, eating what I want, doing being me. But the moment it threatens my gift, I get scared. I can't do this? Yeah. What else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to Winn-Dixie. I'm going to go back to IHOP.
Yeah.
You can't work at IHOP with this hell, baby. In order to feel completely okay with chilling, you have to work. And that's what I wasn't doing at one point. I wasn't working. So my chilling became guilt. True love is care, discipline, and control. I think that you know when you're not putting work into what you're supposed to be doing, or at least enough to make your insides completely happy.
This is The Secret Lives of Black Women. I'm Sharla.
And I'm Lauren.
And today we're talking about self-care versus laziness. We're on the hunt with our guest, Tarianna Tank Ball, to figure out, when is it self-care or am I just being lazy?
Yeah, like if I am sleeping all day and watching Netflix, literally not leaving my bed, am I being lazy or am I listening to my body, you know?
It's real talk. It's a real struggle.
But you know what it makes me think of and thinking of, like, self-care and balance. Do you remember when you were like writing that script?
Yeah, I had a script due, and while I was writing the script, I realized that I just absolutely didn't know what I was doing. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I think it was also because I was smoking a lot of weed, and I do this thing where I like start smoking a lot of weed whenever I'm like having a hard time writing a script because I think it's going to help me open up, and it never does. It like maybe it'll give me one or two funny ideas, but all it actually does is makes me bananas.
Have you listened to the interlude on Green Balloon, which is the new Tank and the Banga album called Lazy Day?
I'm embarrassed. I have not.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we have to, I'm going to play it
play
for
it.
You.
So, I used to be getting high every day, smoking a little roach, having me a good little day. You know what I'm saying? And then I started to feel very guilty because I wasn't doing no work. So, I would equate getting high with feeling guilty. And every time I got high, I felt an immense amount of guilt and I could not enjoy the high anymore. Right? I could not enjoy it. I started feeling paranoid. I would call my family every time I got high. I still probably do. Just because I just feel fucking emotional. I just be like, hey, sis, hey, ma. All on the road and shit. And then, so I just stopped completely.
I feel exactly like what she just said. That's exactly what happened. I'm high. I'm stuck on something. It's not funny. It's not good enough. I was ambitious, but I was lazy.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's like, I don't know. It's like I'm at this constant like inner war with myself of like, you do too much and you don't do enough.
Well, this is what's happened, right? Like with that weed realization, what happened was I was just like, I'm not doing intentional work. I'm not doing constructive work.
Girl.
But what I could do is I could schedule my time. I could get off of Instagram. I'll only smoke weed on the weekends, or I'll really take a break on the weekends, or I'll really stop work at a certain time so that I'm not still thinking about it at night and I can't sleep.
I need to get where you at.
It's helped my mental health a lot. It's really helped me sleep better because remember, I wasn't sleeping during that time
sleeping.
For that script. I wasn't
very
sleeping.
Scary.
I was truly
you weren't sleeping and you were like also waking up crazy early.
Yeah.
And I know this because I stay with you whenever I'm in LA, and it was definitely like out of the blue from other times that I was there. It was just like, I feel like I went to sleep at midnight and it was like 7 in the morning and you were still up working and I could hear you crying. And I was like, I have to pee,
but part
do
of
I
process, yeah.
check in on her right now with that? Mm. Like, it was, you know, It's a real struggle. You know, like I work hard, I be tired, but I also constantly have stuff to do. I don't know. Navigating it. And today we are navigating it with Tank. She's the lead singer of the band Tank and the Bankas, and they won the NPR Tiny Desk concert in 2017. She is a singer. She's a songwriter. She's a poet. She's a fashion icon. She's from New Orleans. Yes, New Orleans. And she's currently on tour, and we Skyped in with her from New York.
Hey, lady.
Hey.
Hi, Tank. This is cool. I never did an interview like this before.
No way.
No, we are like so excited.
We're such huge fans of yours, Tank. I love your hair. You look beautiful.
Thank you. It looks like a flower. I'm like, yeah, this is that
tour. I thought you look like a pom-pom.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
We're so sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. We're both just like.
We're excited.
So excited. So I met you like years ago.
I'm about to say, I know you, right?
Yes. From Airlift. We did the Alice in Wonderland thing.
Yes, when you we did. And you worked at.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just looking at. I'm like, I know this girl.
Tank, anyway. I got introduced to you from NPR's Tiny Desk, like most people.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like scrolling through YouTube, and then I saw like yellow banana print pants and purple hair. And I was like, who is this?
I just had to go and get them shorts, girl. I just had to go and get them shorts from Route 21. And I've seen people with the same outfit on at shows.
No.
It's
how
I
does
still
that
got the
feel?
Pants, so I've never worn them again. Because you know, you gotta certain things are like, you know,
yes.
treasured items.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the look for that show. How does that feel to see people wearing that outfit in your shows?
Great. It makes me feel like Rue 21 should endorse some
yes.
me and give me some opportunities in my band. Because if anybody noticed, me and one of my band members had on the exact same
shirt.
Yep.
I did notice.
And it
that.
Wasn't planned. So yeah, y'all support me because I support y'all. That's how I feel.
I mean, I just want to keep fangirling for a second because then you started doing basically spoken word at the top of that performance. And I'd never seen that before outside of a spoken word show.
Right.
So I was just like, this lady's bringing spoken word to the mainstream as far as I was concerned.
You understand it?
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, I'm not going to say that we was the main people that did it, but I will say that I didn't see too much spoken word on NPR until, you know, we did it. And when I was a judge the next year, there were so many poets that entered the competition.
No way.
And I was so happy about it.
And then your performance skills. So you were a performer, you were a spoken word performer before you started singing or before you started performing music?
I was spoken word before music. I always loved music, but I just wrote better than I sang.
Yeah.
And thinking about guests that we wanted for this show, we were so excited to talk to you because we feel or perceive that we're on this like really similar journey and that like you're a young Black woman who is just like out here, who's hustling, who's doing it. But then you're also really vocal about the struggle and making that happen. So like earlier today, we listened to the Too High interlude. And I guess question like sometimes for myself, I'm like, is it self-care? Or is it being lazy?
It's a line you got to walk for sure. I think that you know when you're not putting work into what you're supposed to be doing, or at least enough to make your insides completely happy. And I think you also know when it's time for some rest, because I have put in some work. I personally know that line. And I also know the line that I like to be on, which I like to chill.
Yeah.
I like to chill. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
what you do on your off days, chill.
Yeah.
I like it. So I think it's, but in order to feel completely okay with chilling, you have to work. And that's what I wasn't doing at one point. I wasn't working. So my chilling became guilt.
Mm-hmm. What have you had to change about yourself to get to or maintain what you're trying to get to?
I'm still in the process of changing myself. I just decided today that I have to even change some more of myself because, like, I got to stay away from fried food. I love fried food, you know.
Oh my God, me too.
I got to stay away from ice cream. I love ice cream.
Me too.
You know, but these are things that affect my gift. And when I, you know what I'm going to do? Because this is what I want to do. I want to eat healthy on the road. And since I'm never home, and when I get home, I won't go wild. I can't just go wild on the road and go wild at home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, that's why I'm like, Tank, you got to have some balance. Because to me, because I'm thinking, man, I get to do what I want with me. My schedule is like this, like this, like this. When I eat and when I chill, that's when I can, that's when I have the most control.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I overindulged in it.
Yeah.
But to me, true, and I'm like, man, I'm taking care of myself. But that's not even love.
Yeah.
True love is care, discipline, and control.
How'd you get to this? Because it seems like that's a realization that you had, that like overindulgence is not loving yourself. Because
it's not.
Because we have this thing about like self-care is basically doing whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It's like, so how did you get to this point where you're like, where you realize that overindulging isn't love?
When you actually got to go to the doctor for your overindulgence and you know you don't want to be nowhere near no hospital at all,
at all,
whether that's dealing with your arm hurting, your back hurting, or, you know, in my case, just coughing too much, you know, and you don't want to be there. You want to be free.
Yeah.
Did you get to a point where you were scared, where something happened and it scared you into changing?
Yes. Just hoarse for longer than a week. That's weird. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? But because of all that ice cream, all that dairy, you know what I'm saying? I gotta relax on it. Because anytime anything, I could be doing my thing, eating what I want, doing being me. But the moment it threatens my gift, I get scared.
Yeah.
If I can't do this, yeah. What else am I gonna do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go back to Winn-Dixie, I'm gonna go back to IHOP.
Yeah.
You can't work at IHOP with this hell, baby. I can't do that. So,
how has your life changed since you've started to basically blow up, like the good and the bad?
Let me see. Well, you're never really home. You never realize how much you miss home until you're not really home. Driving, living in a van. You know what I'm saying? Like the great is people screaming the guys' names, you know? Like, it's not just, they just know Tank. They know the bangers, too. And that actually gets me really excited. Having more than $20, you know, in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, and just to know that your actual gift made room for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not somebody that want to be on stage until I'm 85. You know, I want to, you know, I don't know, sell wigs and capes and own a thrift store or some shit. I want to do something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, the journey is pretty exciting. You just always have to remember how exciting it is and where you come from.
How did you write the song that
lyrics?
You start the tiny desk? Okay.
I would have been the fish.
Yeah.
I would have been the meat. Boxes and squares.
Yeah, boxes and squares. I remember thinking when you started that song, I was like, where is this going to go?
Right? Like,
she's naming ingredients.
I know. It's crazy. I was just basically, That young man put my little feelings in a little place I had never been in. And I was just thinking, like, bruh, you don't see that I would be good for you?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was somebody that had loved a lot of girls, and they all kind of played him. And I felt like I ain't never been in love. I could love you correctly. I could love you right, because I'm fresh. I'm brand new. I'm good for you.
Yeah.
So I thought. But, you know, sometimes you have to ask yourself, are they good for you?
Yep. Yeah.
Because you'll walk into a relationship without no bags in your hand. And before you know, you're trying to help people out. Oh, I'll get that for you. I got that. Before you know it, you walking away from their relationship with bags you never had.
Yeah.
And that's where baggage comes from. You know, like, I didn't even much have this, but I'm trying to help somebody out. And before I know it, now I have more than I left with. And then you bring that on to your next relationship.
Yeah.
So you just got to be careful about who you think you want so bad, or think is for you.
I thought when I was listening to that song that you have to be so vulnerable to write that kind of song.
Me
like,
too.
And I'm always really, I really admire people that are vulnerable like that. Especially Black women, because I feel like a lot of Black women have scars, like, or at least I personally did. And it took a lot for me to become vulnerable. I was always on guard. And I'm just wondering, like, have you always been someone who's very vulnerable and open like that? Or did you have to get there? And after that relationship that kind of taught you those lessons, did you become less or more so vulnerable?
I honestly think that I'm most vulnerable with music, poetry, and a group full of people that I don't know. But as far as the ones closest to me, you know, it every now and then takes a moment to get there. I could be very naturally defensive. You know, one thing that myself and a lot of even women in my family have in common is, you know, we just very defensive. We always think somebody trying to play us,
yeah,
or come at us or embarrass us in any type of way. I used to be, you know, easily embarrassed. Like, you trying to play me? Always on the, like, you know, on the fence. And I think that's from even growing up in New Orleans schools where they'll clown you so quick anything being wrong with you, you know? So I think it just made me very naturally defensive. And the place where I was vulnerable was in my writing. I had no problem with that. And once I got on the stage, I knew that I wasn't the only one that felt like this. So that's when it became, I could do this. But I'm still working on the defensiveness for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you translate that vulnerability from your writing to your real life?
I'm still working on it, you know? Definitely better than I was last week.
Yeah.
I am.
Are you using it as a sort of therapy, or are you actually in therapy?
No, I'm just like, I write. Writing is my therapy. Yeah. My friends are my therapists. I talk, you know, we all talk to our friends, my sisters. Man, I got good sisters. I could talk to them about everything. And anything that I just feel a bit too embarrassed to tell anybody about, I'm going to write it down. You know, the page has never judged me, so I like to write.
Pause on that. We'll be right back after this break. And we're back. How did you make the decision that you were going to take the chance on yourself and fully embrace your gift and let that be your career?
I don't know. I mean, I have no choice, really. Like, you know, I went to school and the chancellor told me that I had ran out of credits and money and that it wasn't adding up. And so they wasn't trying to help me fix it or, you know, work with me. So I just left. I left school and, you know, not even too far away from graduating. And I just started to pursue it full time. I thought it must be a sign. And another sign was quitting IHOP. I never went back that day. I walked in. I was like, I'm not emotionally here today. And then when you quit, and I didn't even want to quit. I just wanted her to send me home so I could go chill. And she was like, you quit? And I was like, yeah, I guess I quit. And I just never went back to, like, that type of job no more.
What were you in school for?
Girl, everything. That's why I ran out of them credits. I kept jumping from class to class. Elementary education, history. I probably settled on psychology. Mm-hmm. Like, well, let me just pick psychology. You know, like, anyone won't do that, man. And I love kids, but I don't like to be with them every day, all day. They take a lot of energy. So, you know, like, no. I changed that one up quick.
Tank, you used to, like, you're very funny.
Thank you.
You didn't know that?
I thought I was just that way amongst my friends.
No, you're hilarious.
No, you're very funny.
Also, I feel like I see this, like, with a lot of, you know, people who are musicians and artists that I admire. Like, you, like Erykah Badu, you are so authentically yourself, right? Like, I feel like there's no, like, filter. You're just you. You Tank. And how do you maintain that, like, in the face of so much changing around you, you know, just being yourself fully and, like, not letting the situations or circumstance affect you, you know, as your life is changing?
I gotta say it again. I mean, it's the people around you. They keep you grounded. You know, they're not just gonna tell you that you look or sound great all the time. I'm constantly being corrected, you know what I'm saying? And trying to tell myself and everybody else, honestly, that the power is actually in being yourself, because there is nobody like you. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many people on the earth, but you're so unique that nobody will even have your fingerprint. That's how unique you are. And, you know, even recently, I'm trying to even more so, because in my head, I was trying to justify in my head why people are going crazy over me sometimes. So I would justify by saying they're going crazy over me the way I would go crazy over this person. Yeah. But I'm just trying to literally tell myself all the time, you're Tariana. You're special. You're unique. You're just fine being yourself. You're cool. You're great. Sometimes you have to say, tell yourself you're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Instagram will make you feel like you're not even cool.
Wait,
like,
Instagram cool makes enough? You feel like you're not cool?
Like, yeah, you're not cool enough,
you're
man.
You're traveling
not
the world.
Cool enough. Oh, my God, your lace front isn't right. You know, you don't have the latest makeup for sure. And definitely, you definitely don't got these women's shapes over here.
So what's your, like, process other than, like, being like, okay, I'm getting off the gram, but your process of, like, feeling like yourself and feeling like a boss? Because I know we all have those moments where sometimes you're just like, the confidence isn't where you want it to be. What do you do to get yourself back leveled up and feeling like yourself?
Leveled up, leveled up, leveled up. What I'm going to do? I mean, I'm going to tell you the honest truth, girly ass things I do. Like,
do
I'm about to go buy a new pack of weave. Go to Sephora and just try on all their makeup and not buy shit. I'm gonna go to the thrift store and find something cool to wear. Get a new pack of lashes. And if none of that is available to me, then I'm going to literally go in my mind and just really, you know, look at my years that I put in to myself and how much I've evolved and that I'm cool.
Yes.
I'm pretty cool for making that song. You know, I have to, you know, you have to do kind of like little self affirmations and confirmations.
Mm-hmm. I like that you said confirmations. That's a good
one. Yeah. You got to confirm. You know, you confirm, but I got to confirm. Like, you did that.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the affirm is kind of like what you want for yourself, but sometimes you got to go back to what you've actually done. Like, I did that. I thought it was cool.
Because we can, like, gaslight ourselves. Like, people telling you you're good and you don't even believe it.
Too much flattery actually makes me quite uncomfortable.
It is weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Do you feel like you've been enjoying this journey, like, as it's been going? Or are you just, like, watching it, I can't believe this is happening kind of thing?
Yeah, the way that y'all are seeing it, I don't see it that way.
Hmm.
I see it like, what's next? You know, I wonder if I ever want dancers. I wonder how big the stage is going to be tonight. I wonder if I'm in here. You know, I think about just the next day, like the next show, and how am I going to make sure that I'm impressing myself, impressing my family, and making other Black people believe in this.
Is thinking like this exhausting or is it exciting and like,
it's both.
Inspiring.
It's both, but more inspiring than anything. Like, how you gonna inspire? Now, my management team. Now they the ones that get stressed out because they actually got to make it happen. I just got my. You know, it's a hard job once it becomes a job. But you kind of gotta have fun and poke fun at the idea that your job is to kind of like be creative.
Yeah.
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 What's, you know, if you don't mind sharing, what do you think is next for you? Like, what is your big dream?
What's the
that
goal
you see for yourself? Ooh. For yourself and for the band? I want it like twofold.
Let me see. I think
what's
I
the
wrote
dream?
It down.
Yes. Like, what's the dream for Tariana and what's the dream goal for Tank and the Bangas?
I don't even much know. Let me see. I don't know where I would like to go next. The bands have better ideas than I do. I just want a number one album.
Yeah, nice.
All over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are vibing to it and they love it. And it's changing music and changing lives the way, you know, people think. That would be great. I would love that. And I wrote this down. Let me see. Shows will vocally and musically go to the next level. Shows will be perfect but clever with beautiful spontaneity. The creative will be one that would be talked about for years, as well as the feeling that Tank and the Bangas provided, which was positive energy. I will always sing correctly and on key. My background vocalists will be on and have great energy. The band members will know themselves and respect each other in every conversation. The fashion will always be dope and noticeable. We will always be considered cool. We will win all the awards, including a Grammy. I will lose weight and give the killer nonstop performance that I owe my body. Green Balloon will be number one. Fans will sing it constantly and post it, and the world will get hip to it more and more. We are a world band. It doesn't matter what kind of music we do.
Oh, that was some beautiful.
That was dope.
That is beautiful. when did you write that?
I wrote it in January 11th, 2019.
So it was the manifestations right before the album came out?
Yeah.
And what does it feel like to write down those manifestations and see it like move into the physical world and be happening?
You know what? Now that you say it, I guess some of it is happening. I'm still waiting though. You know, I'm still waiting, but when I get there, since you live in New Orleans, I'm gonna tell you when I feel it.
Yes, tell me.
When I'll be like, this is what I wanted, this is what I manifested, and I believe in the things I believe in the things that I want. When I believe in something, it's gonna happen because I believe in it.
Yes.
When you believe in something with all your energy and all your might, that's gonna happen for you. And if it's not gonna happen for you, then it really wasn't for you and it's for your best. Just believe that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the power of intention. It's like you've gotten yourself here. What piece of advice would you give, like, Black women who are at home who, you know, want to take the chance on themselves, want to take a leap of, like, living in their gift or their purpose? What advice would you give to them?
If you don't follow your dream, your purpose, you'll spend the rest of your life working for someone that did.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. You know, two, what else you gonna do? What else you really gonna do? Number three, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
For sure. It's the most inevitable thing. You're gonna die. So you might as well definitely spend the life on while you're in this body and occupying this specific space and time. You really might as well do what you were meant to actually do. Number four, what you think you was just here to pay bills and die?
Mm-hmm.
You think you was really here just to pay them bills? You don't wanna regret it. You rather have lived, you know, you rather have lived. Oh man, I can't even find the words. You rather have lived doing it than not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that little saying that they're going, at the end of your days, you don't want to have any more talent left in your hand when you're gone, yeah. When you go up to wherever you're going to go, that you want to know that you did everything that you could with everything that you had.
You want to be empty.
You want to be empty so that you could be filled up again.
Yeah.
The regret is the hugest. You don't want the regret. It'll hurt more if you constantly been on somebody's job, been unhappy, knowing that you wanted so much more. I mean, you could be afraid of failure or you could be afraid of success. Which one are you really more afraid of?
Yeah.
And Black people, I tell you, they honestly more scared to succeed.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
the crazy part.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. Because once you succeed, now you're responsible for success. Now you're responsible for it. Now you got to keep it going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you got to maintain.
Yeah.
We scared to maintain.
We scared to maintain.
We scared to maintain. Because you know what that means? Work.
Yeah. Yep.
How did you ever feel that way about yourself, and how did you change that mindset of like, I want success, I'm not afraid of it anymore?
Still working on it. I mean, I've already literally jumped out the, you know, half of the window with saying, I'm not gonna work these jobs, I'm gonna work, you know, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, my hat's off to Beyonce, but do I want that life? No, but do I want that drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
That work ethic? Yes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But do I have that today? No.
Yo.
I'm going to leave y'all and I'm going to chill. That's what I'm going to do because I told you. I like to chill.
I like to chill too. Man, and I'm so happy you just said that because that is, you know, I think about that every day for myself as like, you know, this girl from New Orleans who wants to stay in New Orleans. How do I have to redefine success for myself and what that looks like and how?
You got to. Because if you go by our parents, we're not successful.
Yep. Yeah.
We're not successful according to our parents. My mama started believing in me when I was able to pay a couple of bills.
Yep.
Same.
You know? And even then, you know, she still, one time my mama said, when things was having a hard time, she was like, well, what you think about going back to waitressing? And I said, Ma, have you seen what I could do? how can you even say that to me when you've seen what I could do? And that's when you have to realize your parents are crazy and that they are on a whole different ship.
Yep,
you gotta,
yeah.
You know, you gotta literally be the captain of your own ship, the captain of your own soul, and believe in stuff that they weren't taught to, which is themselves and their dreams. They was taught to work for people. They're completely different from us, is what it is.
That sounds like an amazing place to end the conversation. And before we leave, I want to ask you, Tank, what's your secret?
Well, it wouldn't be much of a secret, would it?
Well, share it with us. It could even be a secret, and you could share it with
us. What's the secret? Let me see. The secret is to have people that are going to build you up and not be afraid to let you down.
Nice.
As well. Ooh. The secret is being healthy in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And being around a positive community before you're around the ones that are kind of mean to you. I think you got to be around a positive community to help you build you up. Get around good people, good soil, so that you could truly, truly grow.
Damn, Tank.
Nice. That's beautiful, man.
You're beautiful inside and out.
Thank you, guys.
Such
and
a
out.
Big fan.
I love being with y'all.
Your goal of touching people, you've done it. You've touched me. You've made me feel like... Watching you perform makes me feel like I could do anything, truly. True. Like, it is a feat. It is beautiful to watch.
Like, listening to your album, just truly, it speaks to my soul. If you guys, everyone who's listening at home, if you have not listened to Green Balloon yet, do yourself a favor. As soon as this episode wraps up, like, play it. Immediately.
And if you haven't seen The Tiny Desk, you gotta watch The Tiny Desk. Thank you for what you do, Tank.
Thank you. Thank you for being you.
Yeah. I love you, ladies.
We love you. We love you.
Bye. I love her so much. This was such a filling episode. It was just so filling to listen to her.
She's such a sage. Like, I just, you know, there's certain people that you meet in life that are just so wise and have... Just, I'm like, what are the words?
So you know what I think it is?
That I'm looking for.
This is what I think it is. I think it's this urgency for life that I love.
Yes.
Like, I love people who don't waste a minute. They're just not like here for the sake of being here. They're like, they give themselves a purpose. I love people like that.
Urgency for life is just, just such a good turn of phrase. And it's the exact Those were the words that I was
That's
looking
it.
For.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, an urgency for life. Also, just personally, she's so New Orleans.
Yes.
And that just truly fills my cup up, too, to see, like, someone, a Black woman from my town, just, like, in the world, like, crushing it and, like, taking up space and, like, inspiring other people and... I just, oh man, I love my city so much, and I love the people from my city.
What is in the water in New Orleans, man?
Just
what is in the water in New Orleans?
Goodness and life and man, and it just, I don't know. So for me, it's hitting me on so many other deeper levels to be able to talk to Tank, but also just to be here and have this platform. And we're two Black girls from New Orleans. And I just feel really good. Like, I feel really good.
So I think the word of the week is confirmation.
I agree. You know, like Tank was saying earlier, confirmation feels a bit of a step up of an affirmation. It's like putting that affirmation into action.
Yeah.
And... living it, like living that truth, like you've affirmed yourself, now you're confirming yourself in the way that you're moving through the world. So I really like confirmation. Word
of
the week.
Love it. Yeah, it suggests like a self-love that I think affirming just misses, you know, like not just affirming that you're the dopest, but knowing I know for sure that I'm great. I love it.
I love it. Confirmation.
Word of the week.
We're your hosts, Shyla Lauriston and Lauren Domino. The Secret Lives of Black Women is a production of Stitcher. Our producer is Stephanie Kariuki. Our editor is Gianna Palmer. Special thanks to our chief content officer, Chris Bannon, and our sound designers, Brendan Burns, and our recording engineers, Jared O'Connell, Jordan Duffy, and Andy Christens. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SLBW. See you later.
Stitcher.